The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
We have charged our controllers, we've blown the dust out of the cartridge, and we have got a handful of coins for extra lives ready for when we lose. We are ready here now with another Press X to continue. It's the only gaming podcast that you need. Basically, if you're someone who plays all day, maybe you play every day, maybe you're someone who just plays from time to time, none of it matters. This is an inclusive space. Everybody's welcome. Come and join the Continue Club. Make yourself an XC beast. Relax for another episode of Gaming Shenanigans. My name is Stefan Powell. I'm joined, as ever, by the actor, comedian, streamer, master of all trades, new homeowner, Einel Tomlinson. Hello, Einel.
Hey, that's right, man. It's on the housing ladder. and can I say, actually, Stefan, I love your intros. Your intros are always fantastic, but this one...
Did you like that one? Did you say that was good? Did you enjoy that one? Yeah, and shout out to producer Dave, who helps with a lot of those as well. So I'm glad you're getting something out of that. For people seeing this on social media, they're also seeing your kitchen for the first time. A lovely kitchen, may I say, Einel. Really great.
It's got like a little Xbox globe in the background.
On brand, always on brand. Always on brand. Einel, since I've seen you last, we did a live episode.
We did, yeah. That was really fun.
It was great, wasn't it?
Really fun, yeah. Great crowd coming out. It was awesome to kind of meet a lot of the listeners as well for the first time. There were some people that said they were listening during the pandemic. It was the first time I met them. And I was like, whoa, 6 years. And it was nice to kind of put, a face to the chatters in the Discord.
It was really cool, wasn't it? And so we really appreciate the guys at New Games Plus and London Games Festival who invited us down. We had loads of fun, and you can see bits of that on social media now. You can listen back to the episode on Spotify and Apple if you fancy listening to what happened. We had Glenn and Frankie on with us as well. It was really fun. But this week we have got a brand new cast member to Press X to continue, which is always very exciting. We've got the streamer Geeky Cassie with us, also known as Cassie Hughes. Now, Cassie, would you rather be a Continue Clubber or an Exy Beast? Which one are you?
Oh, I feel like Exy Beast is how I've been lying to people anyway. So yes, call me that.
Cassie, for people who don't know your work, where can they find you? What are you up to?
I'm in the gaming streets. I'm hitting the hard pavement.
You're on the streets of rage, Cassie.
Streets of rage. You know what? I was looking at Def Jam Street, Streets of New York the other day. Fight for New York. And I was like, yeah, I could be in that game. Yeah, so that's what I'm doing.
Why were you looking at Def Jam?
Do you know what? Because I was like, oh, sorry, I didn't even do it. Yeah, I'm Kiki Cassie. Sorry. I was like looking at GameCube games, and I did a list of like, I don't know why it wasn't 10, but I did 12. And I was looking at all the games that I liked, and I really enjoyed that. Yeah, and that's what, yeah. So I feel like they should do something like that.
Nothing like Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg was
It was not. It was not. It was like the celebrity deathmatch of games, wasn't it?
Yep.
So yeah.
I haven't thought about that game for a long time, but now it makes you've made me want to go back and play it. So you've done a good job.
I feel like you need to do a list. That's what you should do. Absolutely.
And list of 12 as well. Why stop at 10? Why go to 20? Let's just stick at 12. We've also got a second new guest this week as well, which is very exciting. Joined by gaming YouTuber Luke Westaway. Luke, are you an XC Beast or are you a Continue Clubber?
Continue Clubber. I just like the vibe of Continue Clubber. It makes me feel like I should continue clubbing. And having never been clubbing, I feel like if I ever went clubbing, I would want to continue because I'd be like, this is good. I should have been doing this my whole life. Well, so yeah, continue Clubber. It sounds good. It rolls off the tongue and into the heart.
It's a bit of alliteration. It's very nice.
For the same thing.
Yeah, I Nell's a Continue Clubber, aren't you, Anna?
I am. Oh, Continue Clubber to the end. And then I press X to continue.
Even better, I'm in fine company. I couldn't be more proud to be a Continue Clubber. And actually, I'm developing a new sense of enmity towards XC Beasts. It's immediately become quite sort of tribal, in crowd and out crowd.
Yeah,
I'd never be seen mingling with an XC Beast.
Lines are drawn early here, Cass, aren't they? Which is I feel like that.
I've started that because I started talking about the streets, so I've made it like a kind of West Side Story beef.
Exactly.
I've forced us into this kind of like animalistic thinking. I apologise, but
mean
here we are.
We have to make our own musical.
Yes, we do. Immediately. Producer. Well,
we've done a Press X live show. The Press X musical is coming next. You're here to hear first.
I'm here for it. Lin-Manuel.
Fantastic.
Lin-Manuel who?
Yeah. I reckon he'll come on Press X. I imagine I can get Lin on.
Sorry.
Not after all the trash talking we're about to do.
Exactly. Also, we're good enough. We can write the bars.
Yeah.
Maybe you can.
How does it make you feel, Cassie, that immediately, as soon as Stefan's like, let's do a musical episode, he starts thinking about bringing in outside talent to help? Doesn't make me feel very
extremely hurtful. It's made me feel like now building an alliance with you and now turning on Stefan, which would be the twist.
Yes.
Cassie, he's just trying to get, he's trying to split division in the XC Beasts, okay? You've just got to stay strong now, okay?
It
shouldn't be working. We've got to be better than that.
It's true.
Well, look, Luke, we are throwing you right into the deep end here, okay? Straight off the bat, would like an unpopular gaming opinion from you. It is how we start every episode of Press X. What is your unpopular gaming opinion, please?
Okay, strap in, folks. I'm about to upset everyone.
Love that. Okay.
I'm so scared.
I think that the Pokemon video games should be put on enforced hiatus for a minimum of 5 years. Five years. They shouldn't be allowed to make another, like, mainline Pokemon entry for 5 years minimum. Because at the moment, like, I love Pokemon. I really, really love it. But the last few main series games have been pretty dull and they look awful. So, like, and the reason is that they're on like a release treadmill, right? They have to bring out like a new one every year and it makes loads and loads of money. But at what terrible cost would be my question. Do you know how much money the Let me put this in numerical terms. I've had this rant several times before, you can probably tell.
Okay. You've got this ready. This is pre-prepared.
Let me just share my screen. You'll see my document. So the Pokemon company the Pokemon media franchise has made twice as much money as Star Wars has made since 1977. Okay. So just to put into perspective how much money the Pokemon company is working with. And then you look at the video games they put out. It's not good enough. It just isn't good enough. There's like no reinvestment. The engine that those games working. It gets ropier every year, but they don't seem to be able to stop it. They can't like even get every Pokemon into the games. The Pokemon still, you still can't see a Pokemon hit another Pokemon. And I don't think I'm a monster for wanting to see that. I remember playing Pokemon Stadium on the N64 in 1998 or 9 or something.
Great game.
And thinking, wow, this is going to be so cool when the Pokemon finally hit each other, and we're still not there. It's not good enough.
Well, the Pokemon hit each other.
Hit each other. Well, you know, they kind of like, one wall goes like, bloop, 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 like a little PNG keyframing up and down. And then there's like a sort of two frame explosion PNG of like, and it goes, wobbler, blobblies, fluff, fluff, blub, blub. It's like, it could not be. It's frankly embarrassing considering that the resources they have at their disposal. I don't think it does justice to the Pokemon. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
He used fluff.
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
You know, when you said you were going to upset everyone, I think you actually have, Luke. Yeah, that's really good. That's really good with the wob blob blob.
Yes. I really genuinely like Pokemon and I'm a huge fan. Pokemon Red is the first game I ever 100%ed. I was obsessed with it. I've played I think I've played every mainline Pokemon game, but I haven't like completed the last few. I really fell off them because like they are just, oh man, it's just not good enough. When you've got like Breath of the Wild running on the same machine, it's like, and all it needs is a pause it for 4 or 5 years, let them like figure it out, go back to the drawing board, come back with something fresh, you know. Like Pal World was kind of gross, I thought, but man, like it was amazing how much more immersive and tactile it felt, because you could like actually run around and the graphics were nice.
Now I know you were nodding quite vociferously there when Luke was chatting.
I was nodding, but I didn't verbally agree.
Oh,
okay.
No Pokemon people coming for me.
Oh man, yeah. And to be clear, Pokemon people, I do this out of love. Look, Pokemon has a unique power to unite the world. If you look at like Pokemon Go, like that's the kind of moment that a new Pokemon game could produce. Yeah. Like, remember, like, Animal Crossing was just a sort of weird niche hobbyist Nintendo game, and then it happened in the pandemic, and then like people were like going out to buy Switches just to play Animal Crossing, and it was a huge deal and it was a huge cultural moment. Pokemon games should be a big cultural moment, because they have, more than any other video game, they have this ability to go like properly mainstream, and everyone's on it and everyone's talking about it, and it's so much fun. And like, that's what I wish the Pokemon games were. It's what they should be.
We've talked about this before, and I've said that, Luke, I'm desperate for a Pokemon game to be in my life, because I love the idea of it. I love the collectability of it. I like the iconography and the imagery of it. I think it's great. But like you said,
are you doing the card game? I'm doing the card game.
Well, I had to stop myself. We had Kez and McDonald telling us about it, and I was like, no, I'm gonna have to stop, otherwise this could get ill, you know, bad for me. But there isn't one there for me. And I, so I, because I think I have AAA sensibilities now, and the games just aren't that. We've talked a lot about this, Einel, that Pokemon is missing something. So I think you might not agree with everything Luke said, but there's definitely something to it.
No, Luke is right. I'm just playing around. I'm with you, Steph. Yeah. I love everything about Pokemon apart from the games. And that's the one thing I wish I loved just as much. Like, I'll see a Pokemon movie. Love the Pokemon movies.
Yeah.
Animes are great. I love all the merch. I got all the merch all around me. Like, in this house, there's Pokemon stuff all over the place. I love Pokemon. I just don't like it.
Oh, man, did you see that stop motion thing that they put on Netflix?
The Netflix one.
What was that called?
Concierge.
Was it for Pokemon?
Concierge! That was beautiful. Yeah. It was so lovely.
Oh,
yeah.
What's going on the list? I haven't seen that.
Yeah. Cassie, you were shaking your head at points then. So me and Einel are sort of broadly supporting what Luke's saying. What do you think?
I'm so sorry, because I was thinking, like, do I want to talk? Well, I am going to get cancelled at some point today, so I might as well. I like apart from the fact that a lot of the Pokemon look edible, I don't really get it. And also, I feel like everyone was saying, like, okay, the Pokemon Go was a bonding experience, but it was really traumatic for me because I got really into it and I felt like it made me really healthy until, like, the Fire Nation attacked and they put, like, a Pokemon thing right near my local shop and I wanted to go and battle for it. And there were kids on bikes circling it and they were, like, 10. But there's something intimidating about kids being on bikes because you can't, like... I was like,
not,
what if I...
Not if you know
fight?
They're Pokemon fans.
So, well, no, because they were guarding it and they knew that I went into battle. So I was like, yeah, I don't want to do. And I didn't want to, like, I couldn't read their vibe. And because they're on bikes, it's more intimidating. Like, if they were on foot, I felt like I could have fought it for my Pokemon Go. So after that, I feel like they took the joy out. No one said anything, but this was, like, perceived from it. So then I was like, I went into battle with it. So after that, Pokemon Go, some of the light was taken from it, but I like everything else around it. I don't like Kirby. No, not Kirby. Who's the one? No,
Jigglypuff.
Yeah, but that's because my brother said we're similar.
Okay, well, now you've upset the Pokemon and Kirby fan bases, Cassie. Yeah. And I can tell you, there are no look. I might occasionally sort of get a bit spicy with the Pokemon fan base, but the Kirby fans,
leave them out of it.
I've changed my mind. I love everything about the Pokemon games. They're so good. And I 100% agree with whoever was in the right.
Well, look, let us know what you think of Luke's unpopular opinion. Should Pokemon take a 5-year hiatus, have a little break, sort it out, and come back with a good mainline game? Does it need to do that? Or just keep on raking it in. Thank you very much, because we like seeing new Pokemon. And 1 year, one of them was looking a little bit like a sheep, and everybody loved it. So let us know
that
what you think.
True. They did make one that looked a bit like a sheep.
Yeah, it was great.
Can you imagine the meeting when they realised they hadn't done sheep yet? When they're like, they've got ones that are like a coat hanger and an ice cream and a bin bag. And then they're suddenly like, oh my God, we forgot to
do sheep last year. No, we didn't do sheep last year. I thought you said you did sheep last year. We didn't.
We must have done sheep. Check now. Oh my God, we've never done sheep.
Never done sheep. Well, look, let us know. Press X Podcast on Instagram or Press X Pod on TikTok and Blue Sky. Find us. Let us know what you think. Or get involved in a Discord. We love having people in the Discord. I know, like you were saying, we bumped into people who came to see the show live a couple of weeks ago from the Discord. So it was nice, brilliant, wasn't it?
So nice to finally meet so many people, man. There's generally, like, because it's nice to have, like, a connection with people and people come into the Twitch chat sometimes and they, like, root and stuff. But, like, when you actually meet them in person, it's like, oh.
It was really lovely. And so get yourself in the Discord as well. And you can be part of the conversation. We'd love to see you in there. On the Pokemon note, from the Discord, we've had loads of people sharing their unpopular opinions. Keep them coming in because they are A, they're hilarious, and B, they're brilliant. This one, on your note, Luke, we had Blue Boo said, I've never understood the appeal of Pokemon. And now there are so many games in the series, it feels overwhelming. I don't know where to start. So
start with the most recent one because they're unable to put all the Pokemon in them. So, like, you'll be fine. They can only manage about 20 Pokemon. So, yeah, you're golden.
Chappers shared this in our Discord. Turn-based combat removes any illusion of reality in games and ruins the submersion into its experience. I avoided Baldur's Gate 3 for this very reason. So, Chappers, not a fan of turn-based combat. What do we think about that?
Even in Baldur's Gate 3? I mean...
Even in Baldur's Gate 3, he hasn't played it.
Oh, right. Oh, okay. Turn-based combat, I don't really like it very much. It takes a lot for me to play a turn-based game, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something kind of... I think I appreciate the formality of turn-based combat. It's like pure video games, you know, like stripped down to its Excel spreadsheet, bare bones.
Demi in the Discord, Cassie said that they prefer turn-based because it gives them a chance to strategize. So I don't know, where on the fence are you on the turn-based? Are you with Chappers or are you with Demi?
No, I agree about the strategy, but also it depends on the game that it is. Honestly, I feel when I first did turn-based, and I think it was in was it Blue Dragon or something, that's when I kind of like it made sense for that game. It doesn't fit for everything, but also Baldur's Gate's great, so I think it works for that as well. So yeah, I think
yeah
yeah.
I have to say though as well, guys, Blue Dragon is a beautiful game.
It is. Like, I never hear people talk about it, but that was a game that, you know, helped me fail my courses because I played that. Good game. Yeah, yeah.
Good and popular opinions, yeah. Or it gets people talking. Personally, I like turn-based games.
Mm.
So we talked about Total War. I was playing the other day when I was away in a hotel for a period of time. XCOM, I loved. You know, turn-based games of that nature. But turn-based combat, I kind of see where Chappers is coming from, because it's a bit like, yeah, you do your thing and you sit and you wait. And
you know what it is? There's varying degrees of, like, turn-based. There's, like, stop what you're doing, attack, and then wait. And then there's others that are quite dynamic. I always remember Grandia on the PS1. There was a timeline. It was, and depending on how your character's speed was, how fast you went along the timeline. And then when you get to a certain point in the timeline, then you could take an action. And you had to really strategize around how fast your characters were, the boss. You see, the boss is getting ready to charge up attack. Can I get another attack in before the boss does an attack, or should I defend? So, like, yeah, it depends. It really does
That's
depend
cool.
on the type
mm.
of game.
Yeah. Did anyone play the Final Fantasy remakes? I thought the combat in that was spectacular. Yeah. And it's not turn-based, but you stop frequently to sort of, you know, program in your next sort of series of actions and stuff. Yeah, I thought that was awesome.
Final Fantasy VII, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was really clever. So it can be done well, but it's a good talking point, Damien and Chapa. So thank you very much for that. And then this one from Damien, this is almost for you, Einel, I think, in particular, says, PS Portal is the best peripheral any company's ever made, ever. It's given me so much more time to game than before. People hate on it, but it's a much better experience than using a tablet or a phone because the DualSense features. I don't feel like... I think Damien's right. The PS Portal doesn't get the love it probably deserves, I know.
It doesn't. It doesn't because, like, remote play in general is really fun if you have the right use case for it. There's so many times where I've just had, like, my tablet and I'm in a hotel room and I just take a controller with me and I do the remote play and I'm still playing on my PlayStation. But like with the PS Portal, it's exactly the same, only using the proper, obviously, controller and got a nice dedicated screen. I personally didn't get the hate for it. It's very niche, obviously. Like, it's not for everyone, especially when you look at the price. But it works. It works, man.
I think it's just
because you've got that good hotel Wi-Fi.
Yeah, hotel Wi-Fi is not the one. I think, Damon, also, just because it wasn't a new version of the Vita, I think people absolutely loved the Vita, didn't they?
I loved the Vita, so I was like, yes.
Disappointed, isn't it?
Just wanted a Vita too, didn't we? That's what we wanted. And we didn't get it. Anyway, but look, keep your unpopular opinions coming in, please. We love seeing them. We love they're just great to talk about on the podcast as well. So get in the Discord or find us on social media and get suggesting your unpopular opinions. Right, okay, time for the Press X trivia question music bit.
Who wants to be a continuer?
Okay, so you're going to get the answer to this one at the end of the show. And, of course, you can also test us with a question. If you've got one, then get in the Discord. There's a secret channel there that our production team can see. Me and Einel can't see it. So you can be guaranteed that nobody else is going to see it before they come on the podcast.
I don't know what's going on in here. I don't know what's going on.
You hope it's just trivia questions. It could be like
it's like Nell slander, isn't it?
Yeah.
It could be. Honestly, we don't know, do we? It could be anything.
Off and off.
I need to join myself.
Could be a coup.
Yeah, it could be.
A coup is brewing in there.
Producer Dave has just messaged me saying, "Oh, they're on to us." So there's something going on in that Discord channel that we don't know about. Anyway, you can get in there and suggest a question. Now, we've already shared Damien's unpopular opinion about the PS Portal. He's also shared this question. And we will give you the answer at the end of the pod, okay? So and the question is this. The unlicensed console that allowed you to play Mega Drive games from any region, released in the UK in the 90s, shared a name with which predatory animal? Can you remember a Mega Drive unlicensed console that allowed you to play games from any region that came out in the UK? What was it called? And it was the same name as a predatory animal. Luke, have you got a little smile on your face? Have you got a guess?
Is it the Jaguar?
I thought Jaguar, so that was going to be my guess as well. I feel like I remember seeing a box with two eyes on it.
Yeah, and I don't know. There's definitely been a video game Jaguar. you know.
Yeah.
But I can't remember what it. What the context was
Jaguar,
for that.
Yeah, I'm with Luke. Cassie, any guesses? Can you remember? This is you're probably too young.
Yes, I am. Yes, I'm going to go with that. Say that again, please. Let me just.
I guess you're probably too young for the early 90s.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, you know, it's so hard being so young and being a fresh 21-year-old. Yeah,
text your parents, see if they know.
Text your granddad, see if he knows.
I have no idea, and I'm going to say Jaguar just because I'm going to go with your answer, but I was going to say Viper, and it's not a real thing, but I like the idea of it.
No, if it's a predatory animal, we can go with Viper. I know. Do you know the answer to this one?
I feel like I've heard of this console. I think it's one that they also used in like hotels and stuff. So you could, back in the 90s.
Oh, that takes me back
into hotels.
Yeah. I'm so into garbage third party hotel consoles.
Yeah.
And it was like built into the TV.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's like one of those, but I can't remember.
That is so sick. I didn't realize that was a thing.
Yeah. You're too young.
Well, look, we'll give you the answer at the end of the podcast. No one's got a sort of strong answer. So yeah, 1990s, there was a Mega Drive, a console that allowed you to play Mega Drive games from any region. It was unlicensed, right? And you could get access to it. Right. Okay. So we're going to move on now to something very exciting that someone in this podcast has done that the rest of us haven't done. And that is get their hands on a Switch 2.
Do you know what? Now, I was like, they've stolen it. They found me.
Yeah. And she's playing it right now in her house. Cassie, you were there. You went to the Switch 2 experience
in
London. What was it like? Tell us everything, please.
Okay, all right. Immediately when I went in, everyone was clapping. They were like, oh my gosh, we can't believe she's here and she's going to touch it. And they had like a special thing. And then I heard the noise from like Zelda coming down and it came into my hand. And I was like... Yeah, exactly like that. No, it was just... It was really... I don't know. I think I like the fact that it was just focused on us doing as much as we can to knock out all the concerns that we had about the actual console. My main thing that I was very against, and I don't know whether it was just me just being resistant to change, was a mouse thing. I couldn't get it. That's not what I use the game for. It took me, and this is how unloyal I am to my own thoughts, because it took me about 3 minutes of playing Civ 7 using the mouse, and I'd forgotten that it was actually like a Joy-Con and I was there. And then I started shouting at them because I wasn't meant to be playing it for the whole time, and it finished. I was like, let me back in. I need to go again. So it actually works quite well. You can use it on, you can actually use it to like rub against your leg. I don't know how else to say that without it sounding all right. Wait a minute. I didn't feel any vibrations on my leg, but I didn't try hard enough. So we'll go back again. But I was surprised by how well it did it. It still is quite strange. There was other games that you could play with it that I felt like was too much hard work. Like when you're using both the Joy-Cons, that's like, mouse. But for like playing something that like Civ 7, it was great. It felt more like they focused more on things like community with the games that they had there. And, I don't know, it was just, I also bought my OLED and I bought my Steam Deck in comparison for like size wise and feel. It's a lot lighter than Steam Deck because I would take my Steam Deck with me everywhere and it's really hard. Yes. It's quite hard for me to like carry it in a bag because it's a big boy. But I feel like this felt lighter. So it was nice to compare it with that. And it just, there's little things, but as I said, I made a GameCube video like last week, so I wanted to see what it was going to be like. And I like the idea of them bringing a bit of color back to gaming. Not everything has to be like dark and like, oh my gosh, we're in the pits. I like seeing the old like GameCube controller and doing that. But I think it's tapping more into nostalgia. So I didn't realize I was this passionate about it. I was just like yapping. But
you played it. You could intel. I'm just seeing the videos.
Tales of Afar. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You've held it in your hand. This is good. One question for me that I'm desperate to know the answer to. Did you play the new Mario Kart? And is it any good?
I did play the new Mario Kart. I felt it was really good because it's the first time I wasn't in the bottom 10 percentile. So I thought that was great. I was like, oh, this is good, until they were like, yeah, it's just the bots and easy. And I was like, ma'am, this is not what I need to know right now. Again, I like the idea of doing more things together. I played a lot of the Switch during lockdown, and that's when we connected more. I now had us playing Animal Crossing Olympics, which is still my favorite thing that I've ever done. So I like the fact that this is now more something that's community based I think I might be coming from that as like a streamer and as a creator, because if it's just someone that's like at home, being able to play with like 24 people, I don't know if they're going to enjoy that the same way, but I really like the ideas of what we can do, the amount of like little gatherings we can have, and the kind of connecting a bit more with other people. So I realize that there's that side of it, but we needed something a bit refreshing in Mario Kart. And when it came out, I'm not going to lie, I was like, oh yeah, I mean, we already have it. It's still valid. As soon as I played it, I was looking. I was yelling at people, come and fight me. Fight me on this ground. So I like it. So I like that. Yeah.
Oh, Cass, I got a question. Because obviously the conversation at the moment is a huge aspect of it is about the price.
All right.
Did you feel that it was worth the price that they are charging from the limited time that you had with it so far?
Okay. All right. So listen, I said before that I didn't really want to talk about like prices and stuff, but you know what? I'm going to do it. All right. Let's sit down. We're going to talk about it. I think that the console itself is worth it. It's worth it, but it's the games. Like, it's not like once you've got the console, that's it. It's all the other things that go with it as well. So, and I've got so much out of the Switch. I will admit it took me a while after lockdown for me to get back into playing my Switch as much. And then when I did, especially with traveling around, especially doing more like family, like friendly content, shocking, I know. And then also going to Ghana and being able to play with my family. And I was with my guy and my family a lot. The one like thing that worked a lot and brought everyone together, regardless of whether they spoke English or not, was the Switch and like the games that we were playing on there. So I get a lot from it. And when they put the price up, I was like, you know what? It's kind of what I expected. The games is mainly what I'm concerned about. And I say that because I acknowledge I'm speaking from a place of privilege. And that's why I was a bit hesitant about saying about the things, because when I get codes for games, not even just on Switch, but on like anything, I don't like to tell people about whether it's affordable or not, because who am I to say that if out of 10 games I've bought only 4 or 3, like I'm not thinking about, yeah, I think it's a bit harder. So that's the only reason why I'm resistant on saying that. But I think it's a difficult
conversation, isn't it? And I think obviously,
but we've got to be honest. Yeah.
And the world is in a very weird place. Not to get too politics about it, but the world is in a weird place. You know, cost of living is biting, and on all this sort of the tariff stuff recently, and that might even impact the release of the thing in the States. So there is a lot going on here. So as much as it is about games, it's also about other things as well. So, but that can be a difficult line to tread. Absolutely.
What do you lot think? I mean, I say things. I'm like, well, I don't want to do it, but I've got no filter.
I think 80 quid or 75 quid for a Mario Kart. It seems expensive, but you think of the amount of hours I've spent playing Mario Kart 8. It's like, oh, actually, probably, you know, time to value back. It kind of seems fair. But I guess I just think it's just a big number when you look at it on paper. I can remember paying 40 quid. Games are always 40.
No, at least you're thinking what the next Pokemon game is going to cost.
The next Pokemon game is going to cost a lot. Wait, what do you think of it, Luke?
There's a few dimensions to it. So on the one hand, my first reaction is, to me, a game's price is all about the value question. And I can imagine Mario Kart being a game that you're going to be playing for years and get immense like time value out of. So, when you put it like that, it's like, well, it's kind of a bargain if you slice it that way. But then like, there are other factors, like Nintendo notoriously never drops prices. So this, like, I wouldn't be surprised if this is still the price in 5 years' time, which would be absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
Then you've got, I think the thing that probably everyone is most worried about is that, like, if everyone buys Mario Kart, then this is what FIFA's going to cost, and this is what, like, this is what, basically every, like, mainstream game, like, they're going to see that this works and that it's acceptable and people will put up with it, and the prices will kind of rise across the board. So I think that's the, yeah, it's like, you know, if you take, like, Mario Kart in isolation, it's like, you know what, seems fine to me. But I do understand the concern that it's like, is this the thin end of the wedge of, like, just games about to get way more expensive?
Yeah. And then, of course, I know what that ultimately means, taking on Luke's point there, is if, you know, if I'm only spending £100 on a games throughout the year, because that's what I can afford or whatever, then I buy Mario Kart and that's it. Mm. And so those are the games, that's you for the year. And so that means everybody's playing the same thing. And so those, you know, some of the most fun that we have, we talk about games on the podcast are sort of smaller independent titles or AA games or whatever, that you're like, oh, actually, well, I can't afford to buy that as well. And, well, I'm obviously going to buy Mario Kart, which means that other people lose out, right? When people, especially at the moment, people don't have as much cash in their pocket.
Yeah.
Mm. No, totally with you. Like, you know what it is? I always think back to when I was a kid and the prices for video games hasn't changed that much. Like, I remember, like, games for Super Nintendo were like £50, and like pretty much most games are still around about that mark, even though they cost way more to kind of make. So I understand, like, from my point of view, I always thought price of the game is going to shoot up ages ago. The fact that it's taken this long is astounding to me. But at the same time, as you said, especially with the current climate, with how the world is, how the economy is in various countries around the world, it's tough. It's tough to justify. Mm. But then you look at Mario Kart, you're like, oh, yeah, that's good though.
But as a machine though, Cassie, you think it's a good bit of kit?
Yeah, I do. Like I said, I went in there with my, like, I'm still happy with my OLED. I feel like if you've got an OLED, or you've got like your Switch, you don't need to feel like, oh, I'm not going to be able to do anything without this. But if it's something that you wanted to buy next, yes. And I think you get value for it. But I do think that there's a real push sometimes. It's the same way that I feel about, like, when I had my PS4. When the PS5 came out, I was like, I'm still using this every day. It doesn't feel like it's outdated. And then when I got to the PS5, I was like, okay, yeah, I'm still using, I like this and I'm playing it. I feel like that's how it is with the Switch and with the new Switch 2. Yeah. But because I use it so much, I really enjoyed like the new things that you could do with it. I do like the games that they've got. Like, they had more party games. I feel like they tapped a little bit into doing the nostalgic things, because it reminded me a little bit of the Wii. And then, like, having the cams and then like the two USB-C ports as well, so you can hook that up. The only thing that I would say is that one of the cams is, like, I don't know, literally like Tamagotchi screen. I think it's the, like, Piranha one. So I'm like, I'm definitely giving that to my mum, because, you know, she's not going to.
So ups and downs with Cassie's Switch experience. And look, if you let us know what you think of what you've seen so far, and what you think of what you've heard from Cassie as well. And also keep this conversation going about the costs of games. I feel like that is going to be a theme this year, with Mario Kart first, and then, you know, God knows how much GTA 6 is going to cost when it finally comes out.
Talking of
Grand Theft Auto, let's have a little shoot, have a little of an up. What's the latest?
The Press X to continue GTA 6 update.
As of current recording, there's no GTA 6 news. Sorry, I had this on for a party at the weekend and I can't figure out how to turn it off.
That was the Press X to continue GTA 6 updates.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Can I do a beat for it?
It is, Nelly. Yes, of course you can.
GTA 6.
There we are. Lovely. New jingle there from Cassie. Very good. To compete with it, with her old
one. It's like monkey news.
Yeah. Now, Luke's going to review a Tokyo Extreme Racer for us in a moment. But before we do that, let's talk quickly. So we have had the BAFTA Games. It's the first episode that we've done since the BAFTA Games award ceremony. Astrobot came away doing the best business. It won 5 awards, including the best game. Thank goodness you're here. A game we've championed a lot on the podcast, that one, Best British Game. Yeah. Ainel, the right thing, the right decision for Astrobot to sort of sweep the board?
Oh, 100%. 100%. It's like anyone who's played it, they can't deny how great that game is and how fun it is. I do want to say a quick shout out to Tales of Kanzerazal for winning Game Beyond Entertainment. Well done to that team, Surgeon Studios. But sadly... no wins for Space Marine 2.
No.
I was part of that.
Know. I did feel... Also, I felt like I'd backstabbed you a little bit because I only remembered... Well, I didn't remember. It didn't dawn me on at the point, but I was lucky enough to go to the awards this year and doing some interviews on the red carpet, and somebody asked me what I wanted to win multiplayer. And, of course, I should have said... well, it's got to be a Space Marine 2 because of the fantastic voice acting by Ainel Tomlinson.
Right.
Sadly, I said Helldivers 2 because it's a banger. I feel like I've admitted to you now that I didn't. I should have been more supportive, and I wasn't. And so I'd like to apologise to you publicly here on the podcast.
See it there.
Yeah. Now, Luke, a game that sort of passed me by. Did you still Wakes the Deep won new IP and swept the board on the performers category? There's a game that totally sort of passed me by, and it seems it's gone down an absolute storm. So that did really well. A lot of Scottish talent in that. That's very good. Did you watch the awards, Liam? Did you catch up afterwards? Are you pleased with sort of who won what?
I caught up afterwards. I was too sleepy. So I went to
Understandable.
Instead of doing the professional thing and keeping up with the industry on which my livelihood depends, I simply went to sleep. I caught up the next day. I think broadly BAFTA is a pretty, like, a really good measure of games of like distinctive quality, you know, or ones that are doing something really interesting with the medium, you know, like playing with form. I thought that generally, yeah, I was there were loads of games in Winners that I hadn't played. So it kind of had that Oscars feeling where you're sort of, you're sort of 50% interest, 50% shame. You're like, I didn't see any of these.
I feel like that. We're talking about Still Wakes of Deep. When that sort of was doing really well, I was like, how is this? I'm supposed to be a presenter of a games podcast. This is Still Wakes of Deep.
Game Pass,
totally passed
on
me
game
by.
Pass?
I know.
It's on Game Pass as well.
Yeah, it's okay. I know. Yeah. Don't shame even more, Cassie. You're Team XC Beast.
I didn't play it as well, so here we are suffering together.
Yeah.
The problem is, though, like in the year when Bellatro came out, it's like, how can I be expected to play all these other games as well? All I do is play Bellatro. So.
Well, this week you've been doing other things, Luke. You've also been playing Extreme Racer. So tell us a little bit about that. What is it? Who is it for? Pray tell.
Tokyo Extreme Racer. So it's made by a developer called Genki, who are a Japanese developer. It's actually a revival of a venerable racing series. It's kind of somewhere between an arcade racing game and like a proper sim racing game. And essentially, it's all about like nighttime street racing on the Shuto Expressway in Tokyo, which if that's a vibe that you like are familiar with, you're already into this, basically. Like there will be some people listening going like, oh man, you're like Initial D. Hell yeah. Like, and there'll be other people listening and be like, why would you play a game where you drive on a motorway around Japan at night? And both viewpoints are valid, I suppose. But okay, so essentially it's a sort of anime fantasy kind of role play arcade game thing. You start like most racing games, you start off with, you know, like a kind of like rubbish car. You go out and you race and you upgrade it. The races are always one-on-one. You can challenge any car you find on the motorway. You drive up behind it and flash your lights, and then you initiate like a street race. And you can do that against, you know, the rivals who are kind of prowling around on the mean streets who you're supposed to be racing. Or you can do it against just like a family car that you see and win really easily. And be like, ha-ha, I got your 100 quid or whatever. It's deeply satisfying. And the whole thing is shot through with these extremely surreal, like extremely overwrought, like anime cutscene bits, like with sort of silhouetted figures and text box, and everyone talks about street racing as if it's like Destiny. Why do we race? You know,
Is it for racing fans then, or would you say for people who have got more broad interest in that aside from the aesthetic? Who is it for? Do you think?
I mean, I'm a bit of a motorsports sicko, but to be honest, I would recommend this game to anyone who is interested in aesthetics in general. Like, if you love cozy game, like if you understand the idea of like cottage core or something, that's not what this is. It's a completely different aesthetic, but it has a consistent vibe and feel that it just nails all the way. So all the time that you're playing it, you feel like you are sort of, you know, in the mid 90s, like trying to live your destiny, find your dream, push it to the limit in a sort of banged up old Toyota or something.
Yeah, on a motorway. Yeah, very good. Well, it doesn't have a Metacritic score yet because it's not been reviewed enough times.
It's technically in early access. I've finished the early access, and there's hours and hours of content in there leading up to a climactic battle with your hated rival Cinderella Past Midnight, which, as a sidebar, is the best character name that's ever been in a video game.
Oh my gosh. We need to do a discussion just on the best character names, because Cinderella Past Midnight. I'm going to have to... that is fantastic.
So hardcore. Yeah.
Cinderella Past Midnight.
Yeah, there's... Oh man, and she is an aggressive driver. She does not miss an opportunity.
She undertakes as well as overtakes.
Got to get home.
Undertaking, overtaking, wobbling free.
So you get it for £25 on Steam. It was in early access. So you'd recommend it for people who like that sort of vibe and like driving.
It's silly. It's really fun. And it's excellent to dip into for like 5 or 10 minutes at a time. But I personally found it really Moorish because each race takes about 60 seconds, maybe less, to win or lose. And it's all kind of the races flow into the like just open world cruising around. So, you know, you get into a race, the race finishes, and then you see like on your little mini map, like, oh, there's another rival just sort of 45 seconds down the motorway. I'll probably just poodle along and challenge them as well.
Yeah.
So I've ended up playing it for hours when I meant to play it for, you know, just a few minutes. It's still technically early access, but it's a really good time.
Well, look, let us know if you're in early access along with Luke. Let us know of what you think of Tokyo Extreme Racer. Find us on social media, Press X Podcast on Instagram, Press X Pod on TikTok and Blue Sky. Or is it the other way around?
No, you got it right.
I don't think I have. Wait, hold it. Hold the phone. You know,
Press X
Pod on Blue Sky. We've been doing it 6 months now. You know, I've been doing it 6 months. And do you think I could remember our old handle? Hold on, I'm just going to... sorry, Owen.
You did it right.
I did it right, everybody. Thank you very much. So let us know. Press X Podcast on Instagram, Press X Pod on Blue Sky and TikTok. And before we finish up for this episode, an apology from me to the people who listen and people in the pod in the Discord who have been sending in their suggestions for our Spotify playlist. Okay, it's the Press X Ultimate Gaming Soundtrack. It's a playlist on Spotify. It's the best gaming soundtrack sort of playlist you can find, right? Humble brag, it's a fact. Okay, right? And I'm there's a hill I'm willing to die on. But apologies from me to those people in the Discord who've been making suggestions. I haven't put any new ones in for a while. And I should have done. I should be adding to it continually. It's a living, breathing document, and I haven't done that. Partly because I like it as it is and I want to protect it. And partly because, frankly, it's been quite busy. It's been a busy old few months.
You should do like a pre-new tax year podcast version.
Yeah.
And then
pause. Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what you're like? You're like, you know when you go up to the DJ with a recommendation and they nod earnestly as if to say, I will definitely play this.
Yeah.
And then half an hour later, you're like, where's my song?
Yeah, yeah, that is me. And and I'm not sorry.
It's kicking off in the Discord.
Yeah, but I love it. So people, so many suggestions going in the Discord. So get in there. I mean, so Cassie, what would you put on, if you were me and you were creating the Press X Ultimate Gaming Soundtracks playlist, what would you put on there?
Can I say one thing related and one thing unrelated? I would like to apologise for my Pokemon comments, just in case. And second of all,
Cassie, don't you apologise?
No,
this is a free country. This is a free podcast. Everybody's allowed. This is a safe, inclusive space.
It's
definitely acceptable to not vibe with Pokemon. It is.
You don't know. Yeah. I forgot that I have a community out there that are going to hear this, and they're going to kick off. So it's for my own pretense.
Hashtag content.
Anyway, it's me, Ebonix, that said this. Don't worry about it. Okay. I don't know what game music you put in there, whether it's actually from in the games. However, I would like to suggest James Blake Retrograde. That's one of my favourite game songs ever. But it's at the end of Tales from the Borderlands. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the best, like, I cried. Well, I mean, I'll cry at, like, dropping a jelly bean. But it was, like, a proper emotional bit in the game. And it's one of my favourite games ever. And then when the music came in and it was, like, all slow motion, I was stuck. I was, like... It was one of the best things. So whenever I think of that game, apart from breakups, I also think about that game.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. I love it when game music does that to you. That's why we've got the theme to the song from Journey in there because it makes me go to cry as well. So well done, James Blake. James Blake Retrograde. I will check that out.
Yes, Cassie, you'll love it.
I will check it out.
I feel like guardian.
I'm gonna check it out.
I'll see if I've got it. See if I've got it.
Luke, what do you want to suggest and then not end up on the playlist? No, so what do you want to suggest?
All right, well, here's a slam dunk for you. I'll suggest the Paradise Killer soundtrack. Paradise Killer is an indie game that came out in 2020, I think. It was a sort of very weird kind of vaporwavy point-and-click thing. And I played half of it, and I thought it was fine. But the soundtrack I listen to every day and have listened to every day since, I have it on vinyl behind me on the wall.
Nice.
It is just so freaking lush. It couldn't be better. It's by an artist called Epoch. The title track, Paradise, bracket, Stay Forever by Epoch, is immaculate.
And Luke, you're making music at the moment, aren't you? So this is a big recommendation coming from you.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I've got a new album coming out in a few weeks' time.
That's so cool.
Thank you.
Where can we find you, Luke? Tell the people. Where can they check out your music?
The best place is my Bandcamp. The URL of which I remember. But just for fun, let me just look it up.
Double check it.
Wait,
I just want to go back to Stefan not selecting you to do the musical for Press X to continue.
Hey, I was a proposition.
Yeah.
I chose Lin-Manuel Miranda, Cassie.
Yeah.
I went Lin-Manuel.
Yeah.
You wanted the Oscar winners.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
It wasn't like a custom aside for anyone.
Yeah.
Lin-Manuel Miranda, come on.
I think in this business, you find out who your friends are pretty quick. Yeah. I didn't want to say anything, but I just filed it away.
Don't worry, Luke. I've done the same thing. He didn't even mention me at the BAFTAs.
I just slipped my mind out. Loads of suggestions. Dubri suggested a Xenon 2 classic tune. Bomb the Bass is a track recreated by David Whittaker within the game. Is a suggestion from Dubri. Thank you very much for that one. Sean, the main theme from Batman Arkham City is a suggestion from Sean.
Oh,
and also, the main theme of L.A. Noire, which is very distinctive and makes it
more
distinctive in the 40s. I loved L.A. Noire. I know a lot of people didn't like it. I thought I really enjoyed that game.
Right. It's all like electric keyboards and electric pianos, that kind of like...
So yeah, Sean, great suggestion, and I'm going to sit down and look at people's suggestions and add some things in.
No, he
why does no one believe him?
Just search Spotify, the Press X to Continue Ultimate Gaming Playlist, and you can follow it there.
Also, search Spotify for me.
Yeah, and also search Spotify for Luke as well. Did you give the URL again?
Oh yeah, go to lukewestaway.bandcamp.com. All my music is on there. You can download it, or you can just look at the title and be like, "Well, I'll get that listened out on Spotify, which I already pay for," which is fair enough.
Go to Bandcamp, do that. Right, okay then. So the answer to the trivia question that we had earlier on from Damien in the Discord: the unlicensed console that allowed you to play Mega Drive games from any region, released in the UK in the 90s, shared its name with a predatory animal. It wasn't Jaguar.
Damn it!
It was the Scorpion.
Oh, right. Oh, what's the Jaguar?
So like the Viper.
Yeah. So to be fair, Scorpion's closer to Viper than it is Jaguar. I'll give you that, Cassie.
The Atari Jaguar.
Is that a point for Cass?
Cassie did say a different animal. I mean, close.
In the
sense
that they have the same vibe.
And on that note of disunity, we're going to finish this episode of Press X to Continue. Now, don't forget to get involved by messaging us on Press X Pod or Press X Podcast on Instagram, Blue Sky and TikTok. Comment on our posts and we'll invite you into the Discord. Get in there, get involved in the conversation. We'll have another retro episode coming on Thursday where we share our back catalogue with you. And then we're going to be back with the gang the same time, I mean, usually the same time, it's about 8:39 in the morning, on Tuesday. So we'll see you then. Until then, have a lovely time. See you soon. Bye-bye.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No